following message was given by Jimmy Gahagan on Sunday, December 29th at Redemption Hill Church. For more information about the church, visit us online at www.redemptionhill.org.
Good morning, Redemption Hill. My name is Jimmy. I serve as one of the pastors here, and I'm excited to be with you this morning and to see what God's Word has for us today. But as we get started, it's also exciting for me because everything that I'm going to say, we have already sung or prayed already. So I just get to point back to what God has already been revealing to us through our time together this morning. And so as we think about this time of year, I'll say Merry Christmas as well. And also know that it is a time where we're looking forward to the new year. And that for many of us, we sometimes set goals or make resolutions at this time of year. I've certainly done that with not much success. I've set goals to run a 5K, to read books, to get healthy, you name it. I've tried it with limited success. And so as I was preparing for our sermon this morning from Luke 2, I really want to reframe resolutions, and I've been asking the Lord for the three things that we're going to talk about today, for him to, in 2025, to remind me of these truths about who he is, and that for us as a church, these would be three themes that would help define and shape our new year this morning. So I'm going to go ahead and read our passage this morning from Luke 2, 21 to 35. I think it is page 857 in your pew Bible. Then I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to jump in. This is Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 35. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we worship you that your son was born in Bethlehem, the Savior of the world. And I pray this morning that you would help us to continue to see all that you have for us in this passage. And Lord Jesus, we want to glorify you in this new year. So we ask these things in your powerful name. Amen. So the three truths that I want to highlight from this passage this morning as we spend time together, I want us to see something about Jesus' incarnation and his identification with us. And then I want us to see something about Simeon's waiting, secondly. And then thirdly, I want us to see God's salvation and what that means for us today. So as we move into this passage this morning, I want to remind you of something Shelby said as we began the Luke series, that we are coming to the fifth song in Luke chapter 1 and 2. There have been 5 songs, hymns, prophetic statements that center on the birth of Christ. The first one was Elizabeth's cry in Luke 1:42, where she declares that Mary was blessed to be carrying the baby Jesus, the Messiah. The second we looked at was Mary's Magnificat in Luke 1:46-55, Mary's expression of love, magnifying God the Father for his power, his holiness, and his mercy. Then we saw Zechariah's Benedictus, the prophecy in Luke 1:67-79, which focuses on the horn of salvation which God would provide, that God was fulfilling his covenant promise to Israel. With Raymond last week, we saw the angel's doxology in Luke 2:13-14. Glory to God in the highest. We see the birth of the Savior. And today we come to Simeon's blessing, what's called in the Latin the Nunc Dimittis, now I can depart, and it's focusing on God's salvation to the nations. And so as we think about this, we're going to be looking at what these truths mean for us today. And our first theme is around the incarnation of Jesus and his identification with us. And we see that in Luke 2:21-24. For family members who hear that they're going to have a new child, there's great excitement. I can remember when Cheryl and I got the news that we were having our first child, turned out to be Laura. I was super excited. There was a lot of joy. I was also pretty nervous as well. And I remember when a new baby is on the way, there's a lot that families have to do to welcome that new child. You have doctor's appointments, you have maybe getting a room prepared, you start to think about names. And then certainly once the baby's born, you take them home, you feed them regularly, you watch over them, and you respond when they cry. I remember that feeling of wanting to be a good parent, of wanting to raise my children up in the knowledge of the Lord, and that nervousness, but that excitement and that joy. When we read this passage in Luke 2:21-24, we see Mary and Joseph wanting to honor the Lord with the birth of Jesus. And Jesus' birth was much like other Jewish babies that was born. We see that in four different ways in this passage. We see in verse 21 that Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. And this goes back to God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 17:8-12, where he makes a promise to Abraham to make him into a great nation. And the sign that he gave Abraham was the sign of circumcision, that each male child in Abraham's family would be circumcised, and that was given to the nation of Israel in Leviticus chapter 12. So we see Jesus was circumcised. We see also that his name was given, Jesus. The angel had been revealed both to Mary and to Joseph that they should not name him a family name, but to give him the name Jesus. And names for children are significant. And when we think about Jesus' name, it carries the weight of the Lord saves and God's salvation. We also see in verses 21 to 24 that Mary and Joseph left Bethlehem and went to Jerusalem for two reasons. One is in Leviticus 12, that Mary had quarantined for a period of 33 days, that after a child was born, there was a period of quarantining. The woman was considered unclean, and so they were going to Jerusalem to offer a sacrifice of purification for Mary. And we see that in that they gave turtle doves. And so there's some indication here, instead of bringing a lamb, that they may not have had a lot of means, a lot of wealth, and so they offered the turtle doves. But we also see that they came to offer Jesus. And this comes from Exodus 13, where the Lord said to Moses, consecrate, in verse 1, Exodus 13, 1, the Lord says to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both man and beast. And this was connected to God's strong hand of deliverance as he brought his people out of the nation of Israel. It reminds us of the Passover lamb and how God saved his people and brought them up. And so these stories that we read and this history that we read of Mary and Joseph, they wanted to honor the Lord. They wanted to be obedient to God's law and to raise Jesus in that context. And so one of the things we should realize is just to wonder at the humanity of Jesus, the incarnation. We sung it earlier in that in the sovereign of all creation, the Lord of all, is now a baby, took on human flesh. And we see that in these instances of his circumcision and his being brought and dedicated. But we also see his identification for us. You see, Jesus was without sin from birth, but he willingly obeyed the law. He was perfect, without sin. He was the second Adam, the one who would be perfectly obedient to the Father. But also, he was the fulfillment of what Mary and Joseph were doing and bringing him up under the law. He was the fulfillment. He was the Passover lamb that would be sacrificed for the sins of his people. And so as we think about and marvel at the wonder of Jesus' incarnation and his identification with us, we're reminded of Hebrews 4:15-16. It says this: "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Redemption Hill, would 2025 be marked by us marveling in the wonder of Jesus' incarnation, that he is Emmanuel, God with us. He is not far off, he is near. And that we can come boldly with confidence to the throne of God's grace because of what he has done for us. May our year be marked by that kind of dependence and drawing near to the throne of grace. But also may we think about Simeon's waiting and what that means for us. When we think about the concept of waiting, it's that eager sort of anticipation, maybe staying in one place until something that you expect to happen happens. I think about certainly celebrating Christmas over the years. There were times when Laura and Mark were young, maybe 4 to 6 years old, where they would wake us up at the crack of dawn, 6 a.m., 5:30, in the room, "Mom and Dad, it's Christmas, wake up." And we think about one distinct memory. We generally celebrate Christmas with Cheryl's family, and I remember one Christmas waking up, and they were sitting at the top of the steps of the second floor, ready to come down and open presents and celebrate Christmas. That sense of excitement and enthusiasm and eagerness. We see something about Simeon's waiting here in verses 25 and 26. And important, before we talk about Simeon, to understand the context that Simeon's life. At this time in the Jewish nation, God had not spoken through his prophets in 400 years. That's a long time. From the book of Malachi, now here to Matthew, at a period of about 400 years, Israel had lost its political independence. They were under occupation, under Roman rule. You had Herod, who was engaged in a lot of building at the time. You have the legalistic scribes and Pharisees laying rules on the people. You had idolatry that was present in the culture, in the society. And so it was a period of darkness. But even in that period of darkness, God had kept a remnant who was faithful in worshiping him. And as far as we know, Simeon was not associated with an office, but was a layman. And we see a couple descriptions about Simeon, that one, he was a righteous man, that he had faith and trust in God, and God had considered him righteous, and that he was devout. He wanted to worship and honor the Lord. But we also see that the Holy Spirit was upon him. And that's not that it lived inside of him like the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, but rested upon him. And so we see these indicators. But we also see and read that Simeon was a man who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And this is an important concept. God in the prophet, through the prophet Isaiah, tells his people in many different passages in Isaiah that he, the Lord himself, is going to come and comfort his people. We see that in Isaiah 49, 13. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. You see, even in the midst of darkness and despair and Roman rule, God had spoken to his people through the prophet Isaiah and said that he was going to come and comfort his people. And Simeon was waiting with that kind of expectation. And it says that Simeon, through the Holy Spirit, had revealed that Simeon would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Can you imagine the expectation that that would have brought in Simeon's life? Could today be the day? Every day he was thinking about that promise that he had been revealed to him through the Holy Spirit. He was devout. He was righteous. He was seeking to honor the Lord, and he was waiting for the coming Messiah. As I think about what this means for us, we too have just celebrated the birth of Jesus at Christmas. And we, as God's people, are waiting for his second coming. And as I was thinking about this in light of 2025, there are a lot of things that I'm waiting for in 2025. But I have to confess to you today that as I was preparing for this sermon, God was convicting me of saying, I don't really know that I'm really waiting with eager expectation for the coming of the Lord in 2025, or whenever that is. And so it's convicting to me. I could tell you a lot of things that I'm hoping for. We're going to celebrate our 30th anniversary this year, Cheryl and I. Our son's got an internship that I'm excited about. I'm excited about other things in 2025. But am I waiting with eager expectation for the coming of the Lord? I want my life to be more and more marked by that. And what does that mean for us as Redemption Hill? What does it mean for us to wait on the Lord? Wait for the second coming of the Lord. Titus 2, 11 to 13 says this: For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus. Redemption Hill, would 2025 for us be marked with an eager waiting and anticipation of the Lord's return? Would we want to love and be devoted to him, renouncing ungodliness, worldly passions, and living in a way that demonstrates his glory to the world around us? I want the Lord to make me more satisfied in that reality, because for all of us, that's going to be the defining reality of our lives for all of eternity, to worship the Lord Jesus. And I want 2025 to be a time when we as a church are waiting with that kind of eager hope and expectation. Would you join me in praying for that and in waiting with that kind of hope that Jesus is going to return? Would it be today, Lord? And last, I want us to think about and meditate on seeing and proclaiming God's salvation. There's nothing that can make your there's nothing that can make your heart melt more than a newborn baby. I remember taking Laura and Mark up in my arm when they're, you know, their heads in my palm and their feet are down right at my elbow. There's just nothing more magical and special. Can you imagine Simeon? He, as the Holy Spirit reveals, as Mary and Joseph come into the temple, he takes Jesus up in his arms. This is the fulfillment of God's promise to him that he would see God's salvation. Isn't it amazing? Of course he said, "Take me now, Lord," right? This is, "Now I can depart." There's nothing better than to see your salvation, to take God's salvation up in his arms. But he goes on, and he doesn't just stop with that, take me now, Lord. He says something specific about Jesus and the purpose of God sending his son, his Messiah. He says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Redemption Hill. God, by his grace, has revealed himself for us. As we have put our trust in him, he has brought us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. We have seen God's salvation in the birth of Jesus. And now we have the opportunity to take the good news of Jesus to the nations. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I would encourage you to consider him today, to see the God, the sovereign of all creation, humbling himself and becoming born as a baby in a manger. See him dying on the cross for your sins and lift your eyes to believe and trust him today. For those of us who have believed and trusted him, see God's salvation, that he's rescued us and redeemed us and called us his people. And would 2025 for us, Redemption Hill, be marked by an urgency and a love and a joy and a desire and a courage to take the good news of God's salvation to the people who need to hear it the most? Would God direct you to family members who need to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus? Would he direct you to neighbors next door to demonstrate love and to tell them about Jesus? Would he direct you to coworkers? Or would he even raise up some here today to go and to serve him in proclaiming the gospel to the unreached and unengaged people? And would he as a church move us to pray that God would bring the gospel to the mountain people of Central Asia that we've been praying for? That this would be a year of advancing that work through Adrienne and through others. Redemption Hill, we have a lot to look forward to in 2025. And I know for many of us, you've got a lot of things that you're looking forward to. But would God this year remind us of these truths? Remind us of the wonder of his incarnation and his identification for us. Would he remind us that we are waiting with eager anticipation for Jesus' second coming? And would we live in a way that would magnify him? And would we be a people in 2025 that would take the good news of the gospel to those who desperately need to hear it? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of your word, for the defining realities that we have sung about, that we have prayed about, and we have seen from your word today. Father, I confess for me, and I fear for many of us in the room, we are forgetful people. But may, again, you renew in us a wonder at declaring the majesty of your incarnation and your identification for us, that you are the Passover lamb that was sacrificed for us. Father, would you help us to wait with eager anticipation for your second coming, and may we pray for it, and may we eagerly long for it, Lord, in our lives. Make us more like you, Jesus, in 2025. And Father, may you open doors for us to go, and may you help us, even in spite of ourselves and our weakness and our fear, may you move through us by the power of your Spirit to bring the good news of the gospel to those who need to hear it, our family, our friends, our loved ones, and those around the world. We thank you that you are worthy of our praise this morning. We ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to a message by Jimmy Gahagan, given at Redemption Hill Church in Richmond, Virginia. For more information on the church and to hear other messages, please visit us online at www.redemptionhill.org.